Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Monday, everybody. Today we are going to sneak preview Saturn's upcoming entrance into the sign of Pisces. Saturn is leaving back-to-back Saturn-ruled signs in Capricorn and Aquarius. So it's been in its own signs, its own domiciles for like 5 years. It's moving into Pisces, which is the domicile of Jupiter, Jupiter's feminine home, and it's also the exaltation of Venus. But what's interesting about this is that while generally speaking, that can be a very uplifting thing, and I've already talked in several videos that I made just in the past couple of months about why I think this could be a very happy and, you know, like a something to look forward to for Saturn, quite frankly. At the same time, I think that there are some unique ways in which Saturn could easily fly under our radars, and Saturn could even cloak itself in the sign of Pisces from our awareness. I think we might have a little bit of a sneaky Saturn on our hands at times while Saturn is in Pisces. So I want to talk a little bit about how Saturn could fly under our radars very easily. Now, I want to issue a qualifier, which is to say, this is not at all to say that I think that Saturn in Pisces is a bad placement or that, you know, I don't want this to be just some big Debbie Downer. I like, as you guys know, I like to take the archetypes and turn them in multiple different ways, catch the light off from the jewel from many different angles. And in that way, just get to know the planets in the signs or the planetary combinations in a variety of different ways. Because the more nuanced and sort of deep and complete your understanding is, the more likely you are to see the planets or the gods, or the symbols of the psyche showing up in your life. And you'll be able to see, you know, which version of the symbols you're getting or are showing up to talk with you. So at any rate, we will continue to look at Saturn in Pisces from more angles than just this one today. But I think this one will make for an interesting episode. So that's what we're going to do. Before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe. You share your comments. It helps the channel to grow. I like hearing what you guys have to say. If you have a story to share that's specific as the planet ingresses, don't forget to use the hashtag grabbed or email us your story grabbed at nightlightastrology.com. We aggregate those into storytelling episodes occasionally. Have a lot of fun with those. So thank you guys for doing that in advance. You can find transcripts of any of my daily talks on the website as well, which is nightlightastrology.com. I'm going to take you over there right now because on February 17th, the masterclass series begins. This is a series of four workshops that we are doing seasonally, one in the winter, one in the spring, one in the summer, and one in the autumn. They're on different advanced topics in ancient astrology. You need to have a little bit of background in Hellenistic astrology or any kind of traditional astrology, I would say will be best for this series. But the winter series starts on February 17th. We are looking at the mysteries of the moon cycle from the Hellenistic point of view and really breaking down the nuances of the different sun-moon placements through all of the different phases of the moon, from new moon all the way back around through the balsamic moon. So we'll break it down one placement at a time and talk about how each combination of the sun and the moon in the cycle tells a different story. Really helpful for people who want to go a little deeper with the moon cycle. In the spring, we're looking at the cycles of Venus and Mercury as morning and evening stars. In the summer, we're doing some work with zodiacal releasing, trying to make that a little bit more accessible as a timing technique. And in the fall, we're looking at temperament and personality from a traditional point of view. Temperament was a whole area of study for ancient astrologers, so that one ought to be really interesting. Okay, well, with that in mind, let's get into it today. There is need-based tuition. If anyone needs a little help to take that program, be sure to check that out. There's an early bird rate you can take advantage of as well. Okay, now let's go over to the real-time clock and remind ourselves of what the heck is going on here. So this is actually, I'm going to back this up. I was looking at how long Saturn will spend. It spent all the way until from March of 2023, really until February of 2026, we have Saturn in Pisces with a little interlude where Saturn will enter Aries and then retrograde back out into Pisces in 2025. But yeah, this is coming up really quickly right now. So we're going to see that Saturn's entrance into Pisces happens on March 7th. And it then lasts, like I said, until about February of 2026 with a little jump into Aries in 2025, followed by a retrograde back into Pisces. But that's like about 2.5 years worth of Saturn going through Pisces that we have to look forward to now. Now, this is big deal for a few reasons. One, it's a slow-moving planet. When slow-moving planets change signs, that's generally an indication that there are going to be some more powerful shifts in your life because Saturn will be moving into a whole new house. When it moves into a new house, activates a new set of topics. Looked at some of those in our horoscopes last week. But Saturn is also moving out of back-to-back Saturn ruled signs, meaning it's been in its own home signs for like 5 years now. And what it's going to do is it is going to enter Jupiter's sign, Jupiter's domicile, and Venus's exaltation. That is the sign of Pisces. So what we want to do is today, what I want to talk about is five ways in which Saturn may cloak itself or, you know, hide and try to slip under your radar. Saturn is still a malefic planet and will present us with many challenges and learning lessons while it's in the sign of Pisces. And I think there's a lot of ways to talk about Saturn and Pisces. Some of them I think are very beautiful. There's some themes I'm really looking forward to with Saturn and Pisces. So again, don't take this as like, this is the final word and the only word on Saturn and Pisces, right? But now, why would I say that Saturn in Pisces will hide? Is Saturn even a planet that could hide, or would Saturn like to hide? You know, that doesn't seem, well, yes, because one of the designations for Saturn in ancient astrology was the ruler of feigned appearances, the ruler of feigned appearances. So in order to understand that, you have to think about the archetypal opposition between the Sun and Saturn. So the Sun is naturally opposite to Saturn's domicile of Aquarius, its home sign of Leo, and the Sun's exaltation in Aries is opposite Saturn's exaltation in Libra. So in both the rulership and exaltation scheme, Saturn and the Sun are opposites. What does that mean, and what does it have to do with Saturn being the ruler of feigned appearances? Well, the Sun was associated with the monad, or the one, the realm of the divine, the eternal, the unchanging, the essential, the same, rather than the many, or the one rather than the many. Whereas Saturn was associated with duality. Saturn ruled the opposition. Saturn's exalted in the sign of Libra, the scales, where you have the natural sense of things being compared, or there being a sense of self and other. So Saturn is naturally associated with dualities. And one of the most basic archetypal dualities would be, you kind of think of like in a Hermetic or even Platonic sense, between the realm of the real, or the real forms, like the spirit soul, or the archetypes, or the gods, or God, Godhead, as opposed to the realm of forms that come to be and pass away. So Saturn can represent the darkness of material illusion and ignorance, impermanence, suffering, the world of shadows, as opposed to the real thing. And so you have this designation that Saturn sometimes carries as a planet of feigned appearances. Well, if that's the case, then we have to ask the question, when Saturn is in any kind of sign whatsoever, how could Saturn attempt to present itself as something other than what it is? How could Saturn delude us, put us to sleep, make us ignorant or numb? Those are some of the actions of Saturn. Now remember, Saturn was also associated with contemplatives, with mystics, with prayer, with scholarship, with, you know, people who live, you know, at the edge of the village, you know what I mean? Who have some sacred sense of being separate or other from the world or the status quo. Saturn also was associated with those things, and Saturn has many sacred and beautiful meanings. But one of the things that Saturn can do is to present us with, feigned appearances. It can try to pass things off as other than what they are. In this sense, Saturn rules ignorance and the darkness of our own ignorance, and can be very crafty. Saturn as a planet is often described, for example, as someone who is shrewd and cunning and will, you know, deceive people in order to, like win or get money or, you know, something like that. Like I said, it's interesting that Saturn ruled oppositions, because one of the things that Saturn will also do will be to show up in terms of hard or extreme polarities. And you could say Saturn is associated with duality, but you have to be very, very careful, because as soon as you say duality to most people who haven't, you know, maybe they've only sort of been exposed to like New Age philosophy, they'll think of duality immediately as a bad thing. But for ancient philosophers, duality and oneness were two aspects of reality that existed simultaneously. So, for example, for two lovers to experience the oneness of sexual union, there is a sense in which they still must remain separate and apart, because it's the separateness and the tension of their separateness that somehow allows for the miracle of their oneness. So oneness doesn't really mean anything without duality, and duality is meaningless in a sense without oneness. And many ancient philosophers looked at the two like yin and yang philosophically. So we don't want to say that Saturn and duality is bad. And yet, one of the things that tends to undermine us the most is when we get caught up in polarizations, or let's say our oppositions, which Saturn is the ruler of, without seeing the way in which there is a sacred union or conjunction or oneness between the two things that are being polarized or that are being pulled apart into some kind of opposition. So Saturn and the Sun are always like, they have to cooperate with one another. There's a way, in other words, in which, you know, I might be a spirit soul, but if I treat my body like it's merely an illusion, I'm going to have problems because I'm going to experience a tremendous split then between my spirit and body. And even though there is a kind of split between my spirit and body, my body will die, my spirit will not, for example, my goal is to have that tension held in a way such that the two can coexist, and I can yoke the two like yoga. I can bring them together. Or like the word religion comes from the word religio, which means to reconnect that which has been, you know, torn asunder. So there's a sense in which our work through the lens of Sun Saturn on an archetypal level or philosophical level is always to work the tension of opposites such that even though that things remain, there will always remain a way in which things have, that there are dualities. Well, we hold them in a way where we find a secret or sacred union at the same time. Now that's the core of some of the mystical doctrines that ancient astrologers believed in. Now, take all of that. We're just kind of like giving ourselves a 20,000 foot view here. When Saturn enters any sign, we could say that there will be a way in which we are always presented with the tension of different kinds of opposites that will rise up, that Saturn will make really pronounced. Saturn was associated with the word severity. Severity coming from the word sever. So there is a sense in which things that feel like they are separate and opposed will stand up and stand out in different ways as Saturn moves through different signs. I think that we have to be especially careful of what kinds of oppositions and dualities we're likely to encounter when Saturn moves into Pisces, because it is a sign associated with the benefics. And so it would be a little bit easier, in my humble opinion, and from what I've seen of people who live with Saturn in Pisces, it is a little easier in just my client work, for people to, for those dualities and those hard opposites that can create a lot of stress and division in the psyche, they sneak under the radar a little bit more, because we're talking about the exaltation of the planet Venus, the goddess, and the feminine domicile of Jupiter. So there's a lot of very benefic qualities with this sign, but that makes the potential for those hard dichotomies of Saturn to be a little sneakier. So that's what we're going to talk about. I hope that prelude like sets you up. Why are we even doing this? That's why. So now let's talk about the five ways that Saturn will try to hide. Number one is in romanticism. Now, there's five of these I'm going to mention, and not one of them do I have a problem with. Like, I love romanticism. I'm not here to antagonize romantics, you know? But what do I mean by this, that Saturn could cloak itself in romanticism? There is a way in which romanticism could mean a lot of things. It could be a worldview. It could be something about love and sex and relationships. It could be something about like art. I'm going to get into some of those things more separately. But broadly speaking, what I'm trying to say is that you could become, I could become, anyone could become romantic, severe in a romantic outlook. So for example, let's just boil it down to romantic relationships. This would be a very easy placement for Saturn in Pisces to become very extreme, and for different kinds of hard polarizations to arise around the topics of love and relationships. the way that you view someone, their value in your life, who you think they should be, or who you think, you know, you ought to be as you are in a relationship with some person. You could be so compelled by the feeling of, you know, romance, beauty, goodness, and yet you could be pushed to an extreme. So romantic polarization, to have very strong, romantically driven feelings, which are going to be rooted in things that appear attractive and good and beautiful and harmonious and pleasant and, you know, uplifting. But the point is that you could easily be, that Saturn could easily present these things to you in a way that is very extreme and very polarizing. And it would be easy for it to sneak under the radar, because romantic feelings are about, you know, that they're very seductive. And you can't argue that there will be elements of, you know, in any kind of romantic state, there are feelings and images and desires that are very strong and attractive. But this is exactly why we have to be careful. You could see a kind of romantic extremism in the way of thinking, or in a way of relating in relationships and so forth. So that's what I would be careful for. I would be careful for the tendency for a kind of romantic dogma, a romanticism that is dogmatic, something like that. So let's go on. Number two, mystical experience. One of my favorite qualities about the sign of Pisces is that it is often very otherworldly, sensual, romantic, mystical, imaginative, subtle, timeless, unitive. These are all words that get at something that is so intoxicating about this sign. And I don't always like it when people talk about, you know, Pisces is like, watch out for illusions. You know, it's like, well, I think we probably you could probably stand to have more illusions and imagination than we do. You know, I think we tend to be pretty unimaginative, and we could all use a little bit more mystical intoxication. So I'm not like, you know, keep your feet on the ground, everyone, type of message here. But as someone who spent 10 years plus in the psychedelic world, writing for psychedelic publications, hanging out with, you know, many famous authors and being on radio shows and writing a book about ayahuasca and just spending a ton of time in that culture, I can tell you that some of the most fanatic, psychedelics and mystical experiences can produce fanaticism. That's it. That's the simple way of putting it. So I would be careful for otherworldly, romantic, artistic, mystical kinds of transmissions or experiences to create very hard or rigid ways of thinking or seeing each other or seeing a situation. This is, don't underestimate the power for this kind of romantic, mystical dimension of Pisces to be paired with some of the extreme polarizing duality producing stuff of Saturn. So that's the second one. Romanticism. Saturn can hide itself, cloak itself in romantic feelings, romantic impulses, and in mystical experiences. Number three, and that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with romanticism or mysticism, so I hope I've made that clear. Number three would be psychological depth. Dream interpretation, assigning deep, profound meaning to your experiences, interpreting symbols, noticing synchronicities, talking about, you know, the meaningful, you know, astrological transits that you're going through. All of which I love to do. They're a part of my life. I see a Jungian therapist. I track my dreams. I'm an astrologer. I talk to people all the time about symbols, but we have to recognize that even our most beloved sacred subjects, especially when Saturn's going through a sign like Pisces, can become the means by which we become fanatical, extreme, severed into polarities and hard oppositions. So don't be surprised if some of the rhetoric around self-care, self-help, psychology, anything involving the subjective or interior experience of the soul becomes blown up but perhaps to the point of becoming severe and dogmatic and somewhat rigid. You always have to be careful. It's like such an unassuming sign for rigidity. But you do have to remember that Jupiter as a planet set aside from Saturn can be very dogmatic. And Pisces, it can be one of the more dogmatic signs of the zodiac, but also not one that you would always think of. Most of the time you don't think of it because you're usually picking up on like the Venusian qualities of Pisces. But the Jupiterian qualities can make Pisces a sign of certainty, a sign of tremendous confidence in something that is believed to be good and beautiful and compassionate and things like that. Well, when Saturn's in that sign, that privileging of the psychological, of the interior, of the emotional life, of the development of your life story and all of the psychological transformations you're going through. But these very areas of life that I'm talking to you guys as someone who this is like my everyday life is the world I'm talking about right now. But these are places where you could start to notice some kind of fanaticism growing or some kind of duality sneaking in under the radar. I can tell you right now that as much as I love Jungian psychology, for example, that James Hillman was one of the first to point out that in the wake of Carl Jung passing away, there were generations of people that were, you know, dogmatic fundamentalist Jungians. And that seems crazy because, most of you, if you study a little bit of Jung, you'll find that his way of looking at our interior through analysis, psychology, dreams, synchronicities is so wide open and broad-minded and wonderful, right? But like anything else, those exact kinds of things can become the space within which, if Saturn is doing its hard duality thing, then be careful because those are the very areas where Saturn will sneak under the radar. All right, number four is artistic reveries. Now you might remember in the 90s, I think it was probably 94, 95 in particular, when Saturn was in Pisces. And one of the things I remember about that era was, a lot of major developments in, alternative music, grunge, and one of the things that led that or fueled that movement was a sense of being disenchanted and sort of disgruntled with the status quo, with there's a way in which, the picture of what you should go and do with your life, go to college, get a job, get married, have kids. A lot of what the young, musicians were responding to was like, that's all bullshit. There's something more here. At the same time, that sense of the world being like, okay, for example, an album that came out that I loved during last Saturn in Pisces was Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness by the Smashing Pumpkins. What was one of the famous lines of the song that I think was like the first single off from that? The world is a vampire, right? So, I feel like Billy Corgan could be like the face of Saturn in Pisces in a way, or Kurt Cobain is another good one, where there's a sense of severe disenchantment with the world that can create really, truly amazing art, truly insightful art. But it can also come at like an overly rigid or through an overly rigid or severe or dramatic sense of how bad or awful or terrible someone or something else is. It can scapegoat and reject things. So it's like there's this artistic stamping of the foot that can get really extreme, although it can produce really amazing artwork that somehow captures a sense of the collective fatigue, with the status quo and a kind of romantic yearning for something more, which I think is really important. At the same time, there can be kind of like artists can be very dogmatic is what I'm trying to say. And this is a sign in which you could see a kind of sensible indie rock, thumb your nose at the world kind of severity. So be careful of that. It can sneak under the radar. It can make you feel quite self-righteous because, hey, I've got good art. It's saying something true and fuck the world, man, So we never seem to get very far when the bottom line of it is something like lifting a middle finger at everyone and everything, And this is a place where it's like, well, maybe that gesture leads to some good art, but be careful of taking it too far. Don't let, I mean, I remember during this time I was really quite literally when it last was in Pisces, I was developing like the early stages of like indie rock snobbery. That was when it started, Saturn in Pisces. So, you know, I'm just saying. All right. Number five, finally, is yin sensibilities. Now, let me explain this one. So let's just say, for example, that I'm going to tell a story that I think applies in a lot of different directions, but let's just say you're a young boy and you're coming up in a family where you have an overbearing machismo alcoholic father, you know, just a quintessential, you got a father who's got an addiction. He's abusive. He's domineering, et cetera, et cetera. Many young men, and I've talked to so many in my practice and in the world of psychedelics, especially ayahuasca ceremonies, so many young men that were going through ayahuasca ceremonies who had, you know, maybe they grew up in an environment like the one I'm describing. One of the things that young men will sometimes do, and I would even look at myself in my own life in certain ways, and you think to yourself, well, I'm not going to be that, you know, I'm not going to be that a-hole. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be a jerk. And so you think to yourself, I'm going to become the nice guy, right? I'm going to become like soft, sensitive, gentle, which are all great things. And I think, you know, every human being, whatever your gender, sexual identity might be, every human being should have a well-developed, you know, yin side. But there's also this weird way in which I've seen this, many young men who grew up in a situation like that, that they won't ever get in touch with their anger or their dark side. They won't get in touch with like their gritty wildness, you know? And they'll think, I'm going to elevate above the problems I saw with masculinity, say in, you know, in my alcoholic father, and I'm going to rise above with some heightened, sensitive, enlightened male image that I project. And, you know, and there's in a certain way, you know, many aspects of that very image are things that, you know, in my opinion, like a lot of enlightened males in my life have had. But one of the things that ayahuasca did to me anyway, I'm getting to the point here, over like 10 years, is it basically made me realize that like, you can't just settle into some kind of, I'm going to be the sensitive, nice guy who has like this, just, I'm going to be like, develop some sort of like really strong yin side, and like not and in a way then what we never do is we never get in touch with what that shadow is. Hope that's making some sense. For example, one of the things that I think the men's movement, which you know, James Hillman was a part of, people like Robert Bly, James Hillman, and others, one of the things that they said was that a lot of men who came out of the 1960s who became a lot more feminine and in touch with their emotions because of things like psychedelics, like taking acid, and, you know, they get into poetry, and they became in a sense a lot more enlightened than maybe their fathers were. But then, you know, in like the 1970s and 80s, that same group of men, you know, and at least this was the observation through this group of like Jungians and poets who led this sort of men's movement. And I'm talking specifically now about sort of the people like James Hillman, I think it was Michael Mead or Michael Moore, and Robert Bly and others. So anyway, one of the things that they noticed was that a lot of those same men would develop like all of these shadows that were like the shadows of aggression, and, you know, all the stuff that they had sort of tried to completely rid themselves out of, they, you know, would end up sneaking back in and sort of like ruining their marriages and stuff like that. So one of the things that they would try to do is help men to say like, look, it's really important to have like a well-developed yin side. But if you become like dogmatically yin and you just totally reject everything masculine, that masculine will come back. It'll be really problematic. So one of the things that can happen, remember, this is a Jupiter's feminine sign. It's Venus's exaltation. It's a very, very feminine sign. one of the things that Saturn can do in this sign is say, like, everything that is feminine, so that's psychology, that's art, that's, you know, beauty, imagination, relationship, that sort of tender, more compassionate emotional dynamics, it can exalt them above everything else in a very severe, rigid, dogmatic kind of way. That's my point. I hope that makes some sense. I hope I communicated that okay. The point is that you have to be careful about the sort of the feminine sensibilities, we'll call them the yin sensibilities more broadly, trying to almost like assert themselves to a point where they become fanatical. So that's why we can see, that's why I brought, and they're in every other thing I said, art, psychology, mysticism, romance, any of those things can become the source of a kind of extremism or a tendency to polarize between me and them. So you have to be careful for Saturn and Pisces coming in and sort of exalting everything that's feminine. And sometimes we, you know, like I said, like you might need to do that because you've got this, you've got to only have ever dealt with like a super toxic masculine energy within yourself or your family or something. So you go, no, I'm going to be the like the perfect image of like sensible, gentle, you know, and so forth. Which is good, but you don't want it to go so far that if it polarizes with the yang or the masculine too intensely, it'll actually invite that back in a way that's often, you know, just as toxic. So I think it's a placement for Saturn where we have to be careful about like a kind of yin dogma that could get really, really intense. Now, at the same time, I think there are going to be plenty of people for which Saturn going into Pisces could bring about a kind of refinement and maturity. See, Saturn also a planet of refinement, maturity, and wisdom, you know, things that are time-tested and that develop with patience and maturity and practice. So for some people, I could also see the exact same qualities that I'm describing as severe. And potentially a place of polarization becoming the very themes that grant us some kind of greater depth or maturity. So that's why you can't read an archetype in just one way. For example, for some people, their faith life, their religious or spiritual experience may become more mature, right? They may become more devoted, romantically devoted to things that they love. They could find that they're taking their interior and their emotional life with more seriousness, and that might be needed. Your artistic, the artistic temperament could become an incredibly rich place for self-development, or even the development or cultivation of what I'm calling yin sensibilities could be exactly the place you need to go to mature or grow. So any of these things could also be the template for growth, wisdom, and maturity, right? But because Saturn does like to hide and because Saturn can present these really extreme polarizations, I think these are some of the things to watch for in terms of like, well, where could Saturn sneak in and get me into a polarizing dynamic? So I hope this has been useful for you. I really like to start thinking about planets before they're coming into the signs, turning that jewel in a number of ways and trying to see like, not only like what will Saturn do? Like how will Saturn show up in more concrete ways, but also like what kinds of worldviews and ideas and thoughts are likely to be matched up with a planet, you know, changing signs. Because you'll find that like a lot of the times we think, well, I'm having all of these thoughts and ideas, but actually those thoughts and ideas are passing through like weather systems, and they come and go. And some of the most serious weather systems we deal with, the most ominous and beautiful and severe and like thought-provoking are Saturnine, you know? So I hope that this is something that's preparing all of us for the way in which our minds and moods may be shifting with Saturn approaching Pisces next month. Anyway, that's what I've got for today. I hope you guys are off to a nice start to your week, and we will see you again for more tomorrow. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.